That was wonderful. Thank you very much. At this time, we want to call all our children forward for our children's moment. Y'all come on down. I didn't plan this very well because Reverend Joe had the bag, and now he's out praying. So who knows what he put in here, and then he skedaddled on out. Y'all come around this way so everyone can see. Oh, good. He said it was a common household item. Ugh. I'm not even going to touch that anymore. That's disgusting. Todd, if you'll hold that for me. So that's a possum. So as we all know, possums are evil and disgusting. I think the Hebrew word for serpent in Genesis is actually translated possum, but I'm not quite sure. So all of us have things that we're not fans of, right? Things that kind of scare us and bother us and make us quiver and shake. And we got to remember that even in the midst of that, Jesus is here, and he's going to help us, and he's going to smite those possums, and he's going to keep those things from getting us, right, and hurting us. Oh, man, that is one disgusting bag. I'm all shook up. So we're gonna pray. I'm going to ask for Jesus' assistance to help me. Okay, perfect. I need your number. And so we're gonna pray, and then y'all can go, and hopefully you don't encounter anything disgusting at all today. Yes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and grace. Lord, we thank you for laughter and for the opportunity to at times face the fears that we have. We thank you for always being with us, and we pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things. Lord, we thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have not only to teach them but to learn from them as well. We pray that you would keep them safe and help them to continue to grow into the men and women that you have called them to be. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Like we may need to fire Joe after today, so we'll keep you informed of that. That is painfully real looking. He must have, because that. All right. Well, it's going to be hard to preach now after with that thing. I can feel it staring at me, and it's not even real. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 1. Through 13. Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. Most of you are aware that we have just finished up our stewardship campaign, and I found it interesting this week, and I kind of laughed to myself that here we finished it up, we're done talking about money, and the next passage that we have on the docket is about money. For our guests, I promise that I don't always preach about that, so, you know, that's a typical stereotype the pastor seems to fit into today. But our text this morning is about the dishonest manager, and we have this story from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, again, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of our Lord. Jesus also said to the disciples, "A certain rich man heard that his household manager was wasting his estate. He called the manager in and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me a report of your administration, because you can no longer serve as my manager.' The household manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is firing me as his manager? I'm not strong enough to dig and too proud to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from my management position, people will welcome me into their houses.' One by one, the manager sent for each person who owed his master money. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 900 gallons of olive oil. The manager said to him, 'Take your contract, sit down quickly, and write 450 gallons. Then the manager said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 1,000 bushels of wheat. He said, 'Take your contract and write 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted cleverly. People who belong to this world are more clever in dealing with their peers than are the people who belong to the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal homes. Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much. And the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you haven't been faithful with someone else's property, who will give you your own? No household servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and we pray that it would strengthen us. We pray that you would give me the words to speak, and may they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The passage that we are looking at this morning is one of the most confusing passages that we have, I think, in Scripture. It's one of the more difficult parables that Jesus shares with us, this story of the dishonest manager. The story is a very simple one. The manager has been dishonest in his accounting. The rich man plans to fire him. And the manager manages to save himself by acting cleverly. This is a story with no good guys in it. It's a story that really kind of blurs those lines. How many of us can remember the old westerns? You had the good guys that wore white and the bad guys that wore black. We'll move up a few years. How many of y'all remember Transformers? Optimus Prime was a good guy. Megatron was a bad guy. You move up a few more years, the Todd County Rebels are the good guys, and everyone else is the bad guys, right? We've got clear delineation along a lot of things, but we notice here in this passage that there's a blurring of these lines. It seems odd. It seems strange. This dishonest manager at the end of the story is commended for what he has done. And there appears to be no good guys in this story, which seems odd and makes it even that much more confusing. This corrupt person who is seemingly rewarded for being corrupt and clever. Now, in this parable, of course, the rich man would be God. That's kind of the parallel here. And he seems delighted that this manager has outsmarted him by meeting with those who owed him money. And let's kind of explain some of this. Of course, we see that he finds out he's going to be fired, and he goes and he finds the people that owe his master. And he says to the one, "How much do you owe?" He says, 900 gallons of olive oil. And he says, "Make it 450. To the other, he says, "Make it 800 instead of 1,000 bushels of wheat." And there are competing theories as to what's really going on here. Some think that the master that the manager is taking out the interest that is owed on the things that have been borrowed and is saying, now you just owe the principal. Now you just owe what you actually borrowed with no interest whatsoever. And this is interesting because we know that in Jewish law, it was against the law for a Jew to charge interest to another Jew. The term usury is this word, and it was against the law to do that to another Jewish person. Some think that the manager is taking out what would have been his cut from it. This guy owes, 450 gallons of olive oil, and he's tacked on another 450 that he would keep for himself. In either case, we see that he has acted in a way that is going to keep him from being fired, because if he were to be fired, people would look at him and say, well, he's done this really good job. He's forgiven us this. Why would you fire him? Because it's going to appear that this is what the master is doing, firing his servant for doing something very good. And I think at the end of the day, it appears that this story is telling us one very important thing. And that one very important thing is this. If you serve wealth, it will inevitably lead to dishonesty. If we serve anything other than God, if we put anything other than God as the primary focus in our lives, it will lead to dishonesty in some form or fashion. We will have to lie, cheat, manipulate in order to continue to keep whatever this is at the forefront of our lives. And I would venture to guess that most of us in here this morning want to be good people, right? Anyone here not want to be a good person? Good, no hands. Perfect. So I was right. We want to be good people. We want to do the right thing. And stories like this cause us to wonder what is the right thing to do. Most of us this morning, I think, are caught up between the tension that exists between the extremes of poverty and wealth. Most of us are caught up somewhere in the middle there. We're neither rich nor are we poor, but we're somewhere in the middle. We know that we need money to survive. We know we need to buy food. We need to buy clothing. We need to buy shelter, and we need to buy jerseys, and we've got to purchase these things, right? We know that we need this for that. But we also realize that from time to time we have more than our fair share, while others don't have enough. And I would venture to guess that most of us in here, at some point or another, you have experienced times of plenty, and you've experienced times of want. And there's that tension that we live in, that tension that is there between what's enough and what do we need more of or less of, right? And there's that tension that continues to be there. And at times, maybe we feel guilty because we feel we have more than we should have, or maybe we're bitter because we don't feel like we have all that we need. And there's often very real confusion about how we can be faithful with our resources, with our finances. And I think primarily there's confusion around it because the church, in general, has done a poor job of teaching that. There's three things, right, that you don't talk about around the dinner table. You don't talk about money, you don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion. And guess what I get paid to do? Talk about all three of those around the table, right here, right? It's a tough job. It's a tough calling. But we don't talk about these things because we don't want to upset anybody. There's a fine line between upsetting and having honest conversation around these types of things. So we need to choose today. We need to be mindful today of who we follow, God or money, God or resources. Because we know that if we serve manna, if we serve wealth, if we serve our resources, it will lead to dishonesty at some point. But if we serve God, we will draw closer to Him. We will grow more in His image, and we will be more like Him than we are right now. And this, of course, is the question of faithfulness. In verse 10, he says, "Those who are faithful with a little will be faithful with more. Those who are dishonest with little will be dishonest with more." So we have to ask ourselves this morning, where is our heart? What are we striving for today? We're not told necessarily exactly how this manager was dishonest in the first place. We know there was some dishonesty. We can assume what that might have meant, but we're not told exactly what he did. But we do know that he helped himself. He got himself out of this situation. And he was praised for his cleverness. And what's interesting, in the time like this, teachers and masters and people who had servants and people that worked for them, they would often commend their workers for being clever. Even if it meant they outsmarted them, they would commend them for that. They would think, well, that's pretty good. You did a good job. I imagine that's the same for many of us today. We may have someone who works for us or people that do things, and maybe they do something that we didn't think about, and it maybe kind of bothers us, but at the end of the day, we know, well, that was pretty clever, right? That was pretty creative. They were thinking outside of the box on that one. They got that one figured out. And so we can understand why he would be praised for this cleverness, because he's really put the owner in a really tight bind, which again is interesting. And I wonder this morning, what can we do to not be dishonest in the first place? How can we be faithful in the things that we do? I think it's rather telling when Jesus says that the children of this world are more clever than the children of light. Are we clever with our finances? Are we clever with our faithfulness? Are we a people that thinks outside the box? Are we people that think creatively about ways that we can go out and do the things that Jesus is calling us to do? Sometimes. As long as it doesn't interfere with X, Y, and Z, right? As long as it doesn't disrupt what we've got going on. As followers of Jesus, we should be more clever and more faithful than others. We have Jesus to guide us and lead us, and I think Jesus is saying here, it's a sad state of affairs that these people seem to understand things more than my followers do. I think sometimes we as Christians take for granted that God is with us, and we kind of check our brains at the door and just trust that he's going to see us through. And believe me, I check my brain at the door far more often than I should. You can ask Abby, but don't really, please. As we can see, this parable, I think, at least for me, gives us more questions than it does answers. It really causes us to wonder, what is this all about? What are we supposed to be doing? And this is what I love about Jesus' parables. They are always open-ended. They allow us to kind of write that ending, right? So the question becomes for you and for me this morning, how will you be faithful? How will you seek to honor God today? Will you serve God or will you serve wealth? Will you be faithful and clever? Will you be unfaithful and clever? Will you use your resources to build God's kingdom? Or will you use them to build your own kingdom? And these are questions we have to ask ourselves each and every day. I know what you're thinking. You're more confused now than when I started. Me too. But I pray that if nothing else, this story helps us maybe to consider how we might be more intentional in how we live our daily lives. That we might be more intentional about how we use our resources and our gifts. That we might be more intentional in how we approach the call that Christ places on us to make disciples, so that we can find faithful and clever ways to help people know who Jesus is. The room is pretty full today. If we're faithful, could it be fuller? Could there be more amongst us? I believe so. I know so. I pray that we might continue to seek God, because if we're faithful in little things, we will be faithful, of course, with more. And I pray that to be the case for us today. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for all that you give to us. Lord, we thank you for passages like this that really cause us to step back and wonder what you just said. Because those are the passages that we really lean into, and those are the passages that we really look at and really study and really contemplate. Lord, and we know that when we spend time with you, that time will be rewarded, and we will know more of who you are and who you call us to be in the midst of that. And so, Lord, I pray that we might truly consider this passage over the next several weeks and months, and that we really might consider what this faithfulness looks like, so that we might be faithful to your call and to your love. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.